Sir, Iranians have released a new Lego-style animation.
You know, these little Lego animations that Iran is putting out, whoever's putting them out, I mean, it's pretty clever what they're doing. But of course, you're going to see propaganda coming out from both sides during war. But what they've done with this Lego stuff, I mean, they're actually telling you what's going on and giving you the news. Pretty well factual news, more than what you're hearing from CNN and Fox anyway. And they're kind of doing it in a childlike way so that it's kind of making fun of the US government, and it's kind of making people laugh at how ineffective all their attacks are. And make no mistake, the United States is pounding the living shit out of Iran at the moment. Like, Trump is obviously very frustrated. He's going to pound it for the next 3 days until October the 6th, 2 days now. And then he says if they haven't capitulated by then he's really going to pound it. So according to Trump, he hasn't even started yet. I mean, he's using words like take it back to the Stone Age.
Shortly, very shortly, we're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong.
And how he's going to destroy all their infrastructure, all their bridges, all their power station, all their water plants. I mean, it should be pretty obvious to everybody now that this was never about freeing anybody. This is about destroying a civilization, a 7,000-year-old civilization, on behalf of Israel. That's what it's always been about. But it's also about collapsing the United States. Isolationism. I've spoken about this so much, how one of the things that's happened through all this, in the whole Trump presidency, has served to isolate the United States from the rest of the world. And that has been one of the purposes of the whole scenario, the tariffs, everything. And now through this war in Iran, which is completely illegal and completely stupid, I mean, it's so profoundly stupid, like the worst possible military maneuver in the history of military. It's so stupid that it can't have been done out of stupidity. It has to have been planned. And Trump's the perfect man to do it. He's this bumbling fool businessman, golfer from Mar-a-Lago, who thought he could take on the world.
After assembling the most powerful army in the world, failing to win a war against a middle power, causing oil and gas prices to skyrocket, and delivering incoherent speeches, the golfer from Mar-a-Lago shamelessly admits to being stunned by the Iranian response, which was entirely predictable, and now calls for help from his allies whom he was insulting just yesterday. And they replied to him, "You didn't consult anyone, you have no plan, and we have no reason to follow you blindly into the fog." Trump, the only elephant in the world who walks around with his own China shop, now has no choice but between two equally bad options: to withdraw shamefully, pretending, without convincing anyone, that he has achieved his objectives, or to trigger an escalation with results that have been known in advance since Vietnam, Iraq, or Afghanistan. A quagmire, and in the end, a disgraceful departure.
Yeah, the golfer from Mar-a-Lago. See, that's the way it's presented to the world. Really, he's just a puppet. He's an actor playing his role. And actually, there was talk just a couple of hours ago that Trump was suddenly in critical condition and had been taken to Walter Reed Medical Center. Interesting. Don't know if it's true. Still hasn't been confirmed as I'm making this video, but it went rampant all over X. It went all over everywhere. People were talking about the fact that Trump had been taken to hospital. Still no confirmation. Don't know. Wouldn't surprise me. And if they haven't done it now, well, perhaps they're getting ready to do it at a later date. I've said at least two or three times on a couple of shows that I've done already that I'm expecting that Trump may be suicided or may mysteriously die or whatever, because it's really the only way America has got of getting out of this war, should they choose to take that path. I mean, they cannot defeat Iran. It's simply impossible. America is completely unequipped to fight asymmetric warfare. See, America and Israel, they don't measure the war and they don't measure success or winning by how much strategic gains they've made. They measure it on how much destruction they've wrought. We blew up the most shit and killed the most people, so we win. It doesn't work that way. Now, before this war, world trade was flourishing. Tel Aviv was safe enough, relatively. The greater Middle East was safe. There was trade going through the Straits of Hormuz. The United States had 13 bases in the Persian Gulf. Iran was under sanctions. They weren't allowed to trade their oil. Everything was sort of going along pretty okay, considering. 1 month into this war, Tel Aviv's been bombed to shit. The greater Middle East is falling apart. So many oil fields have been bombed. World trade has virtually shut down. Iran is now free to trade its oil, and it is now in complete control of the Straits of Hormuz. And at least 10, if not more, US bases in the Persian Gulf have been destroyed. It's quite possible two aircraft carriers have been injured. We don't know. It's very, very difficult to get information from US sources. See, that's one thing with American and Israeli and Iranian sources. At least when you're getting information from Iranian sources, they will tell you how many people have died. They'll say, yeah, we lost 2,000 or 3,000 people in bombing raids. Israel will tell you, no, we only lost 4 people. Nobody's been killed. The missiles are not getting through. I'll just give you this blatant propaganda, which isn't possible to be true. You see some of the images that are coming out of Tel Aviv, which show just how decimated this place is. There's no way only 3 or 4 people have been killed. And with American stuff, there was that whole failed mission that they had the Lego animation of at the start of this video on Karg Island. And Americans say, oh no, we lost a few people. Well, they sent a lot of people in there, and according to reports, at least 500 or 600 people were killed or injured. At least that number could be a lot higher. There was talk of it from the US government. They did mention that the mission had been attacked. And when someone asked them about the number of injured, they didn't actually say. They said something about a greater number of injured people were taken to the hospital than the number of people who were killed. So there were more people injured than were killed. But they didn't give a number, how many people that was. They didn't tell you how many people were killed, how many people were injured, how many people were taken to hospitals. They didn't really give you any information at all. But they just did confirm that there was some sort of a thing that happened where their mission was intercepted. Now, there's no way they're going to be able to put boots on the ground anywhere around there. As soon as they put boots on the ground, they get bombed, they get attacked. This is the Persian Gulf. Why would you think the Persians don't know what's going on and don't have the whole place set up so that they can fight a battle there? It's the Persian Gulf, for God's sake. Persia's been there for 7,000 years. They know how to defend their Gulf. Now, the United States comes along, little upstart nations, what, 700 years old or something? Not even that. 500 years old.
They came to the border, two against one, talking about peace with the sound of guns. They pushed him back, they thought it was done, walked away thinking they already won. He stood back up, walked to the water, not as a soldier, not as a bomber. He looked at the world and closed the gate. Now every country has to wait. Ships in line where nations wait. Energy crisis, high inflation rate. Europe nervous, Middle East stuck. Asia silent, America out of luck. Then one man skipped the line. Didn't argue, didn't fight. Why you argue? I make deals. Trade routes open, business sealed. And far away from all the fight. Someone sleeping every night. Oil going up, money pile high. He just smiled, didn't even try. Some fight war, some control trade. Some build deals, but some life fade.
Yeah, crazy. They know what they're doing. And this, it's not going to go well for the United States. It really isn't. I mean, this is going to bring about the destruction of the United States. The United States has already lost its reputation right around the world. France has voted against it. Spain is not allowing the United States to use its airspace. It is Italy. So much of Europe is just saying, no, this was really wrong. You've basically destroyed the world with what you've done. And of course, this was the plan. Now, whether Trump knew what he was doing or not, whether, and I still think that he believed he was going to be the golden boy. He probably knew what was going to bring about a lot of havoc, but he thought he was going to be the golden boy. But they got so much dirt on him with this Epstein shit that he basically has to do what he's told and keep this going. But he's going to be remembered as the man who collapsed the petrodollar and who collapsed the American empire. He was their trump card. He was always their trump card. America can't recover from this. Even the trade through the Straits of Hormuz, the whole world depends on this trade. And Iran is now in control of those straits, and I cannot see them relinquishing that control. And it's going to be impossible to get them to do so. They're in control of it now, and it's their territory, it's their waters. They've got machine gun installments, they've got batteries all over the place, they've got underground bases, they can hit it with their missiles. There's nothing anybody can do about it. There's no way you can send a military force into that choke point and that terrain and expect to be able to take control of that strait and succeed. It will cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of men, and then once you've done it, you're going to have to maintain control of it. And that's not going to be easy because that can be hit anywhere. And all you'd have to do would be sink a few ships in that strait and you close it forever. You'd have to dredge it all and get the wreckages out. I mean, it would be a nightmare. You can't really stage a war in the Straits of Hormuz and think that you're still going to have world trade after it. You're not. Not without building huge pipelines across hundreds and hundreds of miles of deserts. And like just, it's just logistically impossible. And Iran is embedded. I mean, as I've said to you before, they have this asymmetric system, this mosaic defense system. They have missile bases that are underground beneath 400-500 meters of granite in some places. Their main station is beneath a mountain, and it's 400-500 meters of granite. There isn't a bomb on Earth. Nuclear weapons, if they're real, would not even penetrate this. There's no, it's impregnable, completely impregnable. There's nothing that anybody can do to stop Iran responding. Even when Trump's saying he's going to pull out of the war in 3 weeks or something, it's not Trump's decision when this war stops. There's even someone I saw posting on X saying, oh, this war can't go longer than 60 days anyway because it doesn't have congressional approval. So it's got to be over in 60 days. Well, all that means is that Trump has to stop bombing them in 60 days. He can't legally do so after that. I mean, he couldn't legally do so to begin with, but let's ignore that point. Okay, so Trump has to stop in 60 days or whatever. The Iranians don't. The United States has gone in there and is carpet bombing this 7,000-year-old culture. They're destroying bridges. They're destroying cities. They're destroying some of the most ancient stuff we still have left of civilization. It doesn't just belong to Iran. It also belongs to you, belongs to me. It belongs to all of us. This is our heritage that is being destroyed by American and Israeli bombs. It's not acceptable. And even if Trump has to pull out in 60 days, the Iranians aren't going to stop.
You sent the jet, the jet. We sent them down. Rescue failed. Now you're losing clowns. No ceasefire. Watch this. Jet down. Jet down. Jet down. Jet down. Trump screaming. Woo! Losing ground. Losing ground. Rescue mission. Woo! More birds gone. 48 hours. We said no. Carry on. Carry on. Jet down. Lying wrong. Jet down. Iron strong. No ceasefire. We strike back all night long. Woo! You thought your F-15s on the sky. We locked on target, made two more fly. One crew rescue, one still lost in the dust. Rescue choppers running out of turn in the rust. Trump talking big, finish the job on TV. But every jet you send is a gift back to me. You beg for 48, thought we'd kneel and stop. We laughed in your face, keep taking the L, pop, 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 pop. Jet down, jet down, jet down, jet down. Trump screaming, woo! Losing ground, losing ground. Rescue mission, woo! More birds gone. 48 hours, we said no. Carry on, carry on. Jet down, lying wrong. Jet down, Iran strong. No ceasefire, we strike back all night long.
The damage has been done now. You've unleashed the beast, and they're going to keep going until Israel doesn't exist anymore. And Israel, of course, has planned for this. They're now in control of Oblast. I've mentioned to you before, because I keep saying, you know, Israel is the only Jewish state. Well, no, it isn't. I've said for many years, there's a place in Russia called Jewish Autonomous Oblast. Less than 1% of the population there is actually Jewish at the moment, but they are actually in control of Oblast. The Jews are in control. They're also migrating in mass to Ukraine. They want to set up a new Jerusalem in Ukraine. They are also creating a mini Israel, a mini culture in Argentina, a lot of the land that they brought up through Patagonia, they were setting fires through the Patagonia rainforests because the Zionist president of Argentina recently passed a law that any area that had been burnt out by fire could be purchased by people from another country. Why would someone pass such particular law? Now, it's illegal for foreigners to buy land in our country unless it's recently been subject to a fire, and then it's okay. And then suddenly, there's all these fires through Patagonia, this incredible ancient forest, and then suddenly, and they were being set by Israelis, of course, they busted a bunch of Israelis setting fires, and then suddenly all of this area has been brought up by Israelis. Well, who didn't see that coming? And now he is saying that he is going to allow 300,000 or 400,000 Israeli migrants to move to Argentina, and they're going to set up their own little mini communities there. So they're relocating themselves. They've basically put together a set of circumstances which is going to create a believable scenario under which the United States collapses. The United States is going to lose the petrodollar. It's going to lose Israel as an ally. Look, all the stuff that Israel did to bring it into this war, a lot of Americans are waking up that, wow, Israel's done this to us. They've really knifed us in the back. And they're going to withdraw support from Israel. And the Jews that run Israel are going to be fine with that, the Kabbalists. They're going to be fine. They don't care about Israel. Israel was only created and put there in the Middle East to create the war of East against West and to bring about the destruction of America. Now it's served its purpose. They don't care. They'll move to Ukraine and they'll move to Argentina. Then they'll work to morally corrupt the Russian people and what's left of the European people after this, and also the people of South America through Argentina. But you can see how all of this has been a setup, the whole thing. I mean, even if the Ayatollah was part of the club, now this whole system's in motion, it can't be turned off. So even if the Iranians are actually doing what they're doing because they have the moral high ground and they believe that this evil needs to be destroyed, and they're absolutely right, they're still playing into the hands of the Zionists, because the goal of the Zionists was to create this war between East and West and to bring about the destruction of America. I've said so many times that if America falls, it can only be brought down from within. Never going to be able to have an open military conflict with America. You have to put it in a position where you undermine its social system from within and deplete its resources, exhaust its resources. America is fighting on so many fronts at the moment. It simply doesn't have the weapons and doesn't have the manpower, it doesn't have anything that it needs to be able to continue and to win in this conflict against Iran. And like I said before, it doesn't matter when they decide the war's over. It's not for them to decide. They turn something on that won't be turned off until its objectives have been met. And those objectives are to remove all American presence from the Middle East and to remove the State of Israel. They'll continue until they do that. Even if you were to carpet bomb all of Iran and turn it to glass, you won't get to this missile bunker beneath this mountain. And Iran is a very, very mountainous area. This isn't just one of these places. There are 31 different areas like this in Iran, and there are rail systems connecting them. I mean, this is a huge task, trying to take this country down. And it can't be done through any methods of conventional warfare that we know of. And that's simply the brutal truth of the matter. This was absolutely the wrong thing to do. Like I said, it's so wrong, you can tell it was planned, but it wasn't planned by Trump. It was planned by those who created the State of Israel. They got everything ready for this to go on for a while. This will destroy most of the Gulf states. This will destroy the State of Israel. It will destroy the United States of America. And with the collapse in global trade that comes from it, it will destroy most of the Western world. The Asian countries, Australia, it's going to have a huge effect on Europe and on England. And the Kabbalists who have set it all up will be safe and secure in their new locations in Ukraine, which they've just depopulated with this war and killed off most of the males there. And they'll be safe in Argentina, so then they can start controlling both sides of the world from there. They've created a situation where most of the world's simply going to implode under its own weight, and America most certainly. You know, like I said earlier, about the only way for the United States to get out of this is for Trump to die, for someone to assassinate him, or for him to suddenly die or to be declared incompetent, and the United States to withdraw, offer a sincere apology to the rest of the world, and pay Iran the reparations they are demanding and rightly deserve. Going to have to completely distance themselves from the State of Israel. But again, they're setting up in Ukraine. They've got allies all over the place. And there's far more than 15 million of these people, folks, I tell you. But, you know, the entire world is pissed off at Donald Trump at the moment. And America can never regain its standing after what has happened. Something else that has happened through all this as well, like they're expecting trouble in the United States. I mean, trouble's definitely brewing. The whole of the United States is pissed off with Trump. It isn't just world leaders. It's the people of the United States as well. And Pete Kegsbreath just the other day passed a new law because he's the Minister of War now. Notice how he changed his name to the Minister of War rather than the Minister of Defence just before they kick-started this World War III. Unreal how they do that. And Pete Kegsbreath is just a chronic little dipshit. He really is. You see, the Iranians actually put out a Lego animation about Pete Kegsbreath as well. They just never let up.
Yo, Pete Hexeth, this one's specially for you. You punk-ass rapist bitch, straight from Iran. Your tattoo-covered clown with that cafe ink on your arm. Think you a crusader? Nah, just a drunk infidel in a fake uniform. Chain to kill all Muslims, wasted in the hotel lobby. Sexual assault settlement in Monterey. Blocked the door, took a phone, paid her off quiet, cause me too was on. Now you secretary? What a joke, bro. Cheated on wives, multiple affairs. Kids in the mix, family man, hell no. Handsy with women at Fox, drunk on the job. Your own team say, yo, this dude toxic. Couldn't even guard Biden's inauguration. Your own military said, next. Book called American Crusade, dreaming holy war. But reality check, you just a failed vet turned TV clown, slipping on your own mess. Trump picked you cause you kissed the ring. But wait, funny part ain't coming. The dude you sucking up the for that secretary gig. Trump himself was Bill Clinton's top cocksucker, giving blue jobs back in the day. Real talk, you out here blowing for access, but he the original BJ queen. You thought our missiles max 2,000 kilometers? Cute, rookie mistake. We hitting the bow, worshiping Epstein Island crew, the ones who hurt the kids. Revenge for every American soul, you and Trump's dirty crew oppressed and did. We taking payback for the girls, you broke the wives, you broke the Muslims, you hate. Every victim screaming in the dark, Iran got you on the play. You threw everything at us, all your cards, all your might. We still operating on 10% power, laughing while you fight. We see everything, know every secret, every dirty Epstein link you hide. Where you least expect it, in the shadows we ride, and no place to slide. This ain't full force, just a warm up, Persian flow with the rap. Pete, you done roasted raw, Iran sending this heat, feel the math. Drop the mic, infidel clown, we coming.
Yeah, they're just taking the piss out of everybody. But anyway, Pete Kegsbreath, just the other day, he passed legislation saying that soldiers are now able to carry weapons with them on US soil at US Army bases and just basically when they're walking around in uniform. Because posse comitatus, like soldiers are not allowed to be on the streets of the United States armed. I mean, armed forces are not to be used against the people of the United States. So in getting around this, they're saying, well, you have the right to bear arms in the United States. So a soldier also has the right to bear arms, the same as any civilian. So as long as it's his weapons, it's his own weapons from home, then he's allowed to bear arms, the same as anybody. Like if a soldier's in Texas, you can bear arms in Texas. There's a lot of states you can open carry in the United States. So now a soldier can do that as well, as long as it's his own weapons. And he can take his weapons from home to the Army base and he can store them with him on the Army base. And it's all good, same as anybody else. So we're basically giving soldiers the rights of the citizens.
Our great republic was founded on a simple yet bold idea. Our rights as citizens are not granted to us by government, but instead by God. 250 years ago, the Revolutionary War was fought to secure our God-given rights. The Second Amendment to our Constitution enshrines the right of all citizens to carry weapons to protect themselves, their families, and their fellow countrymen. The War Department's uniformed service members are trained at the highest and unwavering standards. These warfighters, entrusted with the safety of our nation, are no less entitled to exercise their God-given right to keep and bear arms than any other American. Our warfighters defend the right of others to carry. They should be able to carry themselves. Recent events like what happened at Fort Stewart, Holloman Air Force Base, or Pensacola Naval Air Station have made clear that some threats are closer to home than we would like. In these instances, minutes are a lifetime, and our service members have the courage and training to make those precious short minutes count. Before today, it was virtually impossible. Most people probably don't know this. It was virtually impossible for War Department personnel to get permission to carry and store their own personal weapons aligned with the state laws where we operate our installations. I mean, effectively, our bases across the country were gun-free zones. Unless you're training or unless you are a military policeman, you couldn't carry, you couldn't bring your own firearm for your own personal protection on to post. Well, that's no longer. The memo I'm signing today directs installation commanders to allow requests for personal protection to carry a privately owned firearm with the presumption that it is necessary for personal protection. If a request is for some reason denied, the reason for that denial will be in writing and will explain in detail the basis for that direction. Again, the presumption is service members will be able to have their Second Amendment right on post. Not all enemies are foreign, nor are they all outside our borders. Some are domestic. Confirming your God-given right to self-protection is what I'm signing into action today, and I'm proud to do so.
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. He's basically giving soldiers the same rights as the citizens have. But you read between the lines, what he's doing is making sure the soldiers can be armed on US soil because they're expecting some sort of civil war or uprising. There's a lot of discontent over what the United States has done in this illegal war in Iran. And they're preparing for that. And again, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they do suicide Trump or pretend he's dead or pretend he gets assassinated, which they've already pretended a few times. And again, I showed you that article that they had in the newspaper a month or so ago. It said, what would happen to Melania if Trump were to die in office? He's putting this little seed, and even this report now about him being in the medical center, whether it's true or not, it's still putting that seed out into people's minds. Actually, Jeff recorded a little section out of one of my videos where I had predicted that they were going to stage Trump's death in order to get themselves out of this war, because it's really the only way for America to get out of this war. I predicted that about 5 or 6 days ago, and Jeff made a little clip out of it and posted it on X. It got like over 300,000 views in like less than 90 minutes, which was crazy. And we don't even know if this is true yet. I mean, I still haven't seen a report to confirm that he actually is in Walter Reed Medical Center. But at least that clip's out there anyway now. At least that's been put in people's minds that if they do stage Trump's death in the next whenever, before this war's finished, then it's entirely predictable that they would do so. So at least it's been seen by enough people. It'll be interesting to find out. Now, I probably know by the time I've actually recorded this video, but as I'm recording it, all I know is that that rumor has gone out there, and there is talk that he is in Walter Reed Medical Center, but it hasn't been confirmed. So, yeah, we'll just see what happens from that. Could be wishful thinking. But again, you know, if it does happen, I think it's all planned, it's all contrived, folks. Something else I wanted to talk about as well, like with what's happened in this war. I mean, this obviously is not a war about freeing anybody. And even if they were claiming they were hitting military targets, well, obviously that's all changed. I mean, they're hitting civilian infrastructure all the time. Something that they did the other day, which was absolutely horrendous and really a crime, would no military strategic value at all, was they bombed the B1 bridge. This is the tallest bridge in Iran. I think it's actually the tallest bridge in the entire Middle East. It's a marvel of civil engineering. It was actually still under construction. And it was a real cornerstone of civil engineering in Iran, in fact, in the world. And Trump bombed this bridge. No reason to do it at all. He was bombing somebody else the other day, and he actually said, it was on an audio, it was on a call, and he said he's bombed a few bases. He might bomb them a little bit more just for fun. Just for fun. Dropping bombs on a place just for fun. And I think that statement is going to be one of the statements that Trump is remembered for by future generations 100 years into the future. The fact that Donald Trump is a full-blown sociopath, only a sociopath would say he's bombing somewhere just for fun. Yeah. But anyway, he bombed that bridge, and again, they double-tapped it. They hit it, and then they waited for the rescue teams to come, and then they hit it again. And Trump's saying he's going to keep bombing bridges. He's going to bomb everything back to the Stone Age, as he says. Now, recently there was Larry Loomer, Laura Loomer, whatever that is, kind of defies analysis. It's a strange looking humanoid, to say the least. Did you know that actually, a few years ago, when it had blonde hair, Laura Larry Loomer opened up a ISIS support group trying to recruit people to join her ISIS support group. Of course, out there fishing, trying to set people up, perhaps even stage some sort of terror attack, the way they did with the first World Trade Center. Remember the first World Trade Center bombing? That was all set up by the CIA. They went out there and actually infiltrated a group, and then they suggested that, hey, let's attack the World Trade Center, and they got them all set up to do it, and they are actually the ones who supplied the explosives and the plan and everything, and just set this little group of sort of activists, hey, let's do something really cool, let's blow up the World Trade Center, you know. And it was the CIA did it all, the first World Trade Center bombing. And I can't remember the guy's name, but it's like she was trying to do something like that. She actually had this whole ISIS support group, Laura Loomer. But anyway, she put out a post that got me banned when I commented on it a few weeks ago, where she said she expects a terror attack to be 10 times bigger than 9/11 to happen in the United States, and it will be traced back to right-wing media personalities, the woke right, she calls them, the woke Reich. There was also another post I saw by her when she said that Turkey is part of this whole setup and that funding for Iranian-backed propaganda or something had been traced to two right-wing podcasters, a man and a woman. I would suspect that she was referring to Tucker Carlson. But you can see there they're also trying to set Turkey up because they want to go in and start bombing Turkey as well. But anyway, she's saying there's going to be this big terror attack. There was reports that there was probably going to be a terror attack in California. We learned recently that Larry Silverstein owns the Citibank building in LA. There was talk that he'd recently insured it against terror attacks, but I don't know whether that's true or not. But he does own the Citibank building. But something that I was thinking, and I've been thinking of it for a while actually, a few weeks, and when they blew up this bridge in Iran, it kind of made me kind of go back and rethink that. Like, look at every disaster movie that they ever make about the United States. Look at movies about earthquakes, the San Andreas Fault going down, or any of that sort of stuff. What's something that you generally see collapsing and coming down in those movies? The San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. You look at that bridge in Iran, very similar. Two big pylons, a suspension bridge, different design, but very, very similar. Think of the Golden Gate, suspension bridge, two big pylons. Recently, I spoke to you about four military drones being stolen from Fort Campbell in the United States. These drones are taken from the Iranian design for drones. So you could very easily get those four drones, just paint them in Iranian colors or whatever they use, and use those four drones to attack the two pylons in the San Francisco Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge. And you could bring down the Golden Gate Bridge. And that would probably constitute a terror attack that would be considered to be 10 times bigger than 9/11. I mean, you might not have that many people die, but then maybe you could just put two drones into that bridge, and maybe you could put two drones into that Citibank building. Who knows? But if you see a drone attack on the Golden Gate Bridge or on the Citibank building in LA or on both, I would suggest that you look into it a little deeper and don't just believe whatever it is the media is going to tell you. And the same if Donald Trump happens to mysteriously die. Like I said, I still don't know what the story is with that whole talk of him being taken to Walter Reed Medical Center. But who knows? Who knows at this stage? But anyway, folks, I think that's about all I wanted to say. You know, it really is disgusting what they're doing in this war. And Trump's hitting them so hard because he's frustrated, because he can't bomb any missile silos. He's saying, we took out your Air Force, we took out your Navy, we took out everything that's visible. Stop firing rockets, stop firing missiles. Well, it's all below ground and he's incredibly frustrated. He's trying to just bomb them into submission, hoping that the sheer brutality and inhumanity of what he's doing, he's literally throwing a tantrum because he can't get to what he wants and he can't get his own way. So he's throwing a tantrum and he's basically destroying their entire civilization, a 7,000-year-old civilization. There was no threat to the United States, no immediate threat at all. And he's doing it because, what, it's fun to drop bombs? And, you know, they're making Lego movies about him and paying out on him and calling him a loser because he is. And so he's just lashing out. It's like a little baby throwing a tantrum and destroying his mother's house because she took his iPad away from him or something, you know? That's what we're seeing from Donald Trump. He's a madman. Recently, there was actually, like, they sacked, I don't know how many generals, like pretty well all the generals they sacked. Pig Kegsbreath sacked them all, which is what you do during a war. You sack all the generals. I think he sacked them all after this whole Cargo Island debacle which everyone said we shouldn't do anyway, but they did, and that's the way it goes. And you got to wonder who he's going to get for his new generals. And he also sacked Pam Bondi. I don't know what for. Who knows? Probably because she was freaking out over the whole Epstein things. And it was just a way of her getting out. She probably asked to be sacked, you know. So who freaking knows? But Trump is just throwing a full-blown tantrum. That's what he's doing. He can't get his own way, so he's just destroying everything that he possibly can. Like I said, this is going to alienate the United States from the whole world. When people see what a futile fight this is and the amount of hardship the United States goes into because of this, when it loses the petrodollar and everything that's going to happen, they're going to want all the Jews to get out. They're going to hate the state of Israel, which is what Israel wants. So they'll lose that alliance. They've already alienated themselves with Russia and Iran and China and all that sort of stuff. China's going to be the one who comes out mostly on top. But of course, the Jews are going to infiltrate China as well and try to destroy that society the way they've destroyed everything else. Whether they'll get away with it, I mean, it's another question. But I don't think Israel's going to last. I don't think it has any chance of lasting. But of course, I mean, while they're doing this, they're still working to annex West Bank and cleaning out the rest of Gaza and to destroy Lebanon as well. So, I mean, they're still kind of working towards it. But again, I think they've underestimated Iran's response. I don't think Iran's going to let them do any of that. It's simply not going to stop firing missiles. It doesn't matter. Even if Trump were to die, and the United States was to give them billions of dollars in compensation, I don't think they will stop bombing Israel while Israel is still there and while Israel is attacking Lebanon and Hezbollah and any of that. You know, and the whole thing, like Hezbollah was formed because Israel was attacking Lebanon. I mean, Israel started this whole thing. It was 1982. I mean, in 1982, there was no Hezbollah. There was no Hamas. There was none of this sort of stuff going on. And what was it like in Lebanon at a child's gathering in 1982? Yeah, and that sort of stuff was why Hezbollah was created, to stop that happening, to fight against that, because the Lebanese government wasn't doing anything because they're all crypto Jews. They were just doing what they were told. And the people stood up and said, no, fuck this. We're going to fight back against this. We're not letting these Zionists come and steal our country. We don't care about their greater Israel shit. It's ridiculous. They just think they can own everything. I mean, imagine what this would be like if they applied it to Italy.
Hello, nice to meet you. Do you live here?
Yes.
With your family?
No, I live alone. Sorry, who
are you? Oh, that's even easier. This is my house.
What?
Sorry, my English is not very good. Is Isfahan?
Yes, see?
Isfahan a Roman city?
I see, you're joking. It's a lovely joke. Because you're Italian, you think that you own this place because...
No, there is no joke. The Romans occupied England in the 5th century, so anyone of Roman descent has an historic claim to this land. Now leave, my family is waiting outside.
Oh my God, you're serious?
Yes, my God Jupiter proclaimed it. So now back up and peace off, pretty boy.
Your English sounds pretty good to me. Listen. You can't just turn up to someone's house, evict them, and then move in because you think you're the descendants of someone who lived here thousands of years ago. You know that's ridiculous, right?
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey guys, come in. anti-Jupiterite.
Yeah. Can't have these anti-Jupiterites around the place, can we? But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Watch out for what's going on. Watch out for any tricks that might be played by a little tricky Trumpy. And watch out for some sort of false flag attack involving the Golden Gate Bridge. Just wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And look, stay focused on yourself and your life, folks, really. Do prepare for what's coming, because the supply chain's broken now. Even the ships, it takes a month. Even if it was to start flying again, like Australia's got like 2 weeks worth of oil or something left. Countries are running out very, very quickly. I mean, it takes a month or 2 months for these ships to sail around the place. Even if the supply chain was to open up now, well, it's going to take at least a month or two, or possibly three, before any ships were to arrive on your shores. Like if you're in Australia or in New Zealand or you're in Africa or Malaysia, it's going to take at least a month to 3 months before any ship is going to be able to dock at your shores. And that's if everything was to start flowing again today, which it isn't. You can't just switch this back on. So much of the supply has been disrupted. Russia's lost 40% of its oil production. So many oil plants around the Middle East, around the Gulf, have been bombed, blown up, and they're inoperable. The gas fields, South Pars gas fields, this is not happening. So much of the supply has been disrupted. And even if it were all to be switched back on, the Straits of Hormuz were to be opened today, well, it's going to be at least a month or 2 months before you get any of those ships. And bear in mind that when those ships come back, they can't just go back to the same docks and fill up again the way they did last time, because a lot of these places are gone. They're bombed out. It's destroyed. A lot of these facilities have got to be rebuilt. And if ships that are stranded in the Persian Gulf now, if they were to just suddenly let them out and go to wherever they want to go, I guarantee you there's going to be countries out there that are bidding for the highest bidder. Whoever's got oil will give you more than what this guy will. What's he offered you? We'll give you more. Bring it here. They're going to be bidding for this oil because it's going to be in shortage. And even once they've unloaded that oil, it takes a little while to unload, then it takes them a month or so to sail back to the Straits. And then, look, a lot of these places have got to be rebuilt. So this energy shortage is going to get very serious very quickly. And you need to prepare for it. If you've got gas cylinders or a big tank of gas or something at your house, well, great. You know, use it sparingly. But get supplies of things you're going to need. Get non-perishable foods. Get canned food. Get stuff to be able to keep your head above the water. It's really important that you do this. And I would really suggest that big cities are not the place to be. Most especially in places like Australia, New Zealand, Malaysian countries, Philippines. It's going to get very, very hard for a lot of people. And a lot of this is going to come to the United States as well, because the United States is becoming more and more isolated. The United States is not so dependent upon the Straits of Hormuz, but it's dependent upon a lot of other people. And with the damage Trump has done to the world, there's not going to be a lot of other people that want to help the United States. It's like seeing Tel Aviv get bombed. There's not a lot of people speaking out against this. A lot of civilians have been killed. A lot of children have been killed. A lot of buildings have been destroyed. Everyone's just sitting there cheering it on because of what they've done to the people of Gaza and what they've done to the world. And with what the United States and Israel have just done to the world with this whole thing, well, not a lot of people are going to be supporting the United States from here on. And you notice how Israel's kind of backed away from the whole thing. Oh, we're too busy with Lebanon now. Even with boots on the ground, and Trump's still saying they're probably going to put boots on the ground, which is a suicide mission. And as I was saying earlier, I think I got sidetracked, there was one general who resigned, and he resigned because he said Trump is a madman who is going to destroy the great military of the United States. And so he resigned because he just said, I can't watch this because what this guy's doing is insane. He's a madman. And he is. He's completely insane. Whatever they've got over him with the Epstein files, and we know some of the stuff that he gets up to. We know what they all get up to. And you know, it's going to come out eventually anyway. But he is literally going to be remembered as the man who destroyed the United States, Donald J. Trump. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. It's a pleasure coming to talk to you, sort of narrating the end of the world like this, which is kind of crazy, but that's kind of what I'm doing. But hey, what a ride, hey, what a freaking ride. And you ain't seen nothing yet. This is just beginning. It's going to get fucking crazy. Please do pay heed to these words and do try to get yourself sorted out and get yourself some food stashed and get yourself somewhere where you're going to be safe. Don't just think this is all going to go away and you can just go on with your life and continue your job and make plans for travel next year. I mean, sure, you can make all those sorts of plans and things. I mean, who knows? It might work out. But hey, prepare for the other side as well. Because, I really can't see things getting too much better too quickly. Like I said, even if this all stops today, we've still got a long way to go to get back to square one. But anyway, thank you to anybody who sends me kind words and kind messages and leaves kind comments. Thank you to anybody who's made any donations still through this. It's so fantastic, and I really, really do appreciate it, folks. And I know times are hard, but yeah, I really, really do appreciate the support that you give me over the years. But hey, it's not over yet. Going to be interesting to see where it goes. But just make sure you and your family are prepared, folks. I'm not even really trying to wake people up too much anymore. I figure if you're not awake now, well, I'm not going to be able to help you. I'm just trying to provide some stability and some support for those people who are awake. Let you know you're not alone and just maybe keep you up to date on a few things. And just encourage you to be prepared. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now, folks. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking. Thank you for joining on this report. I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache. Hello. Hello, my little friends. Hello, darling. Hello, soul. Hello. Hi, folks. I had finished that video and had rendered it and was ready to upload it, but I've just got a little bit of an update. Information has just come to me now. There's been a video posted by Professor Sayed Mohammad Mirandi, Iranian professor, and this video is claiming that 500 ICBMs have been delivered to Iran from North Korea, which completely changes the game if this is true. Intercontinental ballistic missiles gives them the ability to strike the United States, continental United States. Also interesting, North Korea is claimed to have nuclear weapons. So this has just caused a major escalation. Of course, I think it's completely fake. The video that was put out allegedly by Dr. Mirandi, Professor Mirandi, is an AI video. This is obviously an AI voice claiming that Iran has just acquired 500 ICBMs.
Last night, while most of the world was sleeping, the strategic architecture of the entire Middle East, and arguably the global order itself, was fundamentally and irreversibly altered. 500 Hwasong-18 intercontinental ballistic missiles, the most advanced solid-fuel ICBM that North Korea has ever produced, have been transferred to Iran in what I can only describe as the most consequential covert weapons transfer in the history of the modern Middle East. And the Western intelligence community, the most heavily resourced surveillance and analysis apparatus in human history, missed it until it was already done. I want you to sit with that number for a moment. 500. The United States currently deploys approximately 400 Minuteman III ICBMs in its entire land-based nuclear deterrent force. What Iran has just received from Pyongyang exceeds America's own ground-based strategic nuclear delivery inventory. And unlike the Minuteman III, whose fixed silo locations have been known, mapped, and targeted by Russian and Chinese war planners for decades, these Hwasong-18 platforms are road mobile. They move, they hide, they can be repositioned across Iran's vast national territory in ways that make preemptive targeting effectively impossible without real-time intelligence of a quality that no satellite constellation currently in orbit can provide. Let me explain what this actually means, because I do not think the full magnitude of this development has been absorbed yet by the general public, even though I can assure you that every defense ministry from Tel Aviv to Washington to Riyadh has been in emergency session since the confirmation came through. Israel woke up this morning in a fundamentally different strategic reality than the one it went to sleep in. The qualitative military edge that Washington has guaranteed and underwritten for half a century, the assurance that Israel would always possess weapon systems and delivery capabilities superior to any combination of regional adversaries, has been obliterated by a single transfer agreement between two sanctioned isolated nations that the Western world spent decades trying to keep apart, and the question that is now being asked with barely concealed panic in those emergency sessions is not whether this transfer happened, because satellite imagery, signals intelligence intercepts, and human intelligence reporting from multiple independent sources have confirmed it beyond reasonable analytical doubt. The question being asked is what happens next.
Now, that was obviously AI, but this takes things to another level. This also provides an excuse for the United States to greatly escalate things in Iran, and it provides the claim that Iran could potentially attack US soil. So what I was saying before about a possible attack on something like the Golden Gate Bridge is now even more possible with this type of information being put out. And again, folks, this is very obviously propaganda. It's very doubtful this is true. That was definitely not Professor Mirandi speaking, which also brings the question, is Professor Mirandi still alive? They had put a contract out on him. It was even advertised on X, and Elon Musk didn't delete that tweet or anything.
You've been targeted by a shady organization on X that had a paid partnership, actually. They were able to get advertisement for a bounty on your head. Now, I looked into this organization called Terror Alarm. It's very non-transparent, but there are those who have shown that it's Ukrainian-affiliated and Israeli-affiliated. Shocker there. The dangers are very real in Iran right now, but the war is also going in a very particular direction.
Yes, the post is still there, and they are gathering money to do whatever it is they want to do to me. But why wouldn't they target me? Why wouldn't X help them target me? But just as Iranian people are not intimidated, and they stand their ground. And we saw, and you've seen footage of Iranians being on the streets demonstrating, and then missiles hit, and they stand their ground. They don't budge in Tehran and elsewhere. So how can I do anything different? We have to do what we have to do, regardless what the consequences are. And I will continue to give my opinions and say the facts until the end of the war, assuming that I'm alive. But the masks have been removed. I think across the world, across the global majority, people see what the West is. They see it's the Epstein class. They see that the Epstein class really runs everything. The media, whether it's the so-called left or the right or the liberals, the mainstream media is theirs. It belongs to the Zionists and the oligarchy, and so does the government. So that is a good thing, I think. It's a good thing that people see the reality. It's no longer, we're no longer living in an environment where many people continue to be ignorant and many others are naive and they're able to manipulate public opinion. The only people left to manipulate are, for the most part, in the West. And even that's becoming increasingly difficult.
I've checked his page and he is still posting, but you've got a question, is that him making the posts or have they simply hijacked his account? And this video is obviously AI. The question is, why hasn't Saeed Mirandi come out and denounced the video? The plot thickens, folks. Just watch out for the next few weeks and let's just see what happens in Lakesh.
Dubai is officially 83% turned off. The city of gold has become a ghost town in less than a month, and it turns out the entire country was just a political version of Disneyland. Here is the disgusting reality that travel influencers won't tell you. Larry Johnson just exposed the truth. These massive high-rises, most of them don't even have a sewage system. Every single day, a fleet of trucks has to haul human waste out into the desert. They built golden toilets for Westerners, but they forgot the foundation. And now, that foundation is crumbling. The UAE is not a nation. It's an artificial mirage. Right now, their international trade is dead. Tourism is dead. The construction industry? A graveyard. 25% of their oil isn't even leaving the port. Larry says the UAE won't survive the week as an intact country because they have no economic floor left to stand on. While the Gulf collapses, Donald Trump is posting that he's in serious negotiations with a new Iranian regime. But insiders say he's talking to ghosts. It's the psychiatrist's couch scenario. Trump is haggling over prices like a real estate deal, but Iran isn't even in the room. Their demands are 100% fixed. U.S. out of the Gulf, end the sanctions, and pay reparations. There is no middle ground here. He White House is bragging about 9,000 strikes, but oil prices are still screaming toward $120 a barrel. We're being sold a fake victory, while 5,000 Marines are being prepped for an April 6th invasion of islands that are literally pre-mapped kill zones. We are repeating the 2003 Iraq Scud lie on a global scale.
Nobody has ever analyzed why the German nation that had more Nobel Prize winners and more famous researchers and scientists and was one of the best educated countries in Europe turn on the Jews. Why did these good Germans turn on the Jews who had more Jews living amongst them than even percentage-wise living in the United States today? Why was that? Because they displayed the same voracious ethnocentrism, power grabbing, influence peddling, buying of politicians, dominating of the public airwaves and of public media in Germany and so on, that they display in the United States. And I'm not much of a prophet, but that much I can say based on history, that in the United States, mark my word, you will have Weimar conditions and you'll have solutions to the Weimar conditions. It'll be very similar to what happened in Germany. The United States is heading in the same direction. And there's only one difference. In the United States, there are enough guns out on the street and enough lawlessness in the public and a revolutionary spirit that founded that republic. This is not Germany, where the only people that had guns were hunters and soldiers and policemen. The United States is armed to the teeth. They have a spirit of revolution in their blood. They are heroes. are people who turned against what they call tyranny and foreign occupiers and so on.